Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use your promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this episode, we break down yet another wild road win for your Colorado Rockies, and one that looked like was not going to go their way at all ends up going their way in Atlanta. We'll talk about the inspiring performance, obviously, of Sam Hilliard, the not quite so inspiring performance of Germán Márquez. We'll get into all of that when we take a look around at some news at the end of the show, but do want to begin with some local news here. We won't do too much on it because he hasn't played just yet, and we'll have a show tomorrow to break down once he's done some stuff, but we got to get excited for yet another major league debut here, Patrick, and begin the show talking about a big day for Ryan Vallade.
Very exciting. We started getting the inklings early this morning that he would have gotten the promotion. Of course, he wasn't on the 40-man. He needed to be added at some point this winter ahead of the Rule 5 draft. So that was definitely going to happen for the 22-year-old outfielder from Oklahoma. And Buddy talked about how he's been on the radar since spring training, played really well there in Scottsdale in late February throughout the month of March. And he's certifiably an outfielder at this point, which is great. You know, they've got some guys banged up, so the bench is looking tight. Ryan Feltner gets optioned down to AAA, and Bernardo Flores Jr. is designated for assignment. If you've been listening to the show, you know we've at least mentioned his name on more than one occasion, but great opportunity here for him and great opportunity for Rockies fans to get excited about the future of the franchise. Colton Welker already getting that promotion on Larry Walker's Hall of Fame Day. Pretty easy to remember that date there, which would be September 8th, how they've coincided with his MLB debut. And now we've got Vallade here making his debut on September 18th, wearing the number 31, playing left field and batting seventh in tonight's lineup in Washington, D.C. So it's a fun time, I think, for Rockies fans to get that taste of what's coming up next, and they don't have to just look on the MILB app or wait for us to talk about someone.
Right.
They get a chance to kind of see these guys up close and personal, and hopefully he'll be sticking around when they come back home on Tuesday at the start of what will be a 9-game homestand, the final week of the season of home games at Coors Field for the Rockies.
Yeah. Getting him in there right away. Got to like that. Throwing him out there in the left field. Let's see what he's got. Very excited for this opportunity for him. Like you said, just more stuff to get to watch. Especially when it comes to his defensive and athletic prowesses. It's been reported a lot more this year that he's really been excelling in those regards. And of course, that's one of those things that you can't just look at a box score like you're talking about, you know, check in, how we often do. If you're not watching the game specifically, you know, they've had to move all around the diamond in his minor league career. He's played some more shortstop than I had realized after kind of moving away from it early. He's basically played everywhere on the diamond but second base and catcher. And there are even reports that with his decent athleticism, he manned center field okay too. And so that's kind of the stuff, you know, you want to see guys hit. It's baseball. Everyone's still, we're going to be honing in on each and every at bat for the new guy. But I'm really curious about how that plays and how he's going to factor in moving forward as the Rockies are kind of shuffling pieces around.
Buddy said on the conference before Saturday's game that his bat will be his calling card. That will be, you know, how we will know him, right? He's jumped around playing a lot of different positions. Hopefully the defense will at least be solid. It doesn't really have to be necessarily anything more than that, but it'll be the bat. It'll be, you know, the stick, you know, was, you know, a little under 300 this year at Albuquerque, you know, one of the youngest players there as well. You know, he's still only 22 years old. Friday night, I sent out a tweet about, you know, Juan Soto being 22 and, you know, all of these young players that the Rockies have had in their past, not a lot, actually, not a lot of guys under the age of 23, particularly position players that have made their debut, other than the big names, you know, like Tulo, Arenado, David Dahl. But now he'll be amongst that class. So that's really nice that, you know, he's basically the before this season, he was an A-ball. And now here he is in the majors, whether he's, you know, 100% ready or not. Is somewhat besides the point because it's just a good opportunity for him to be around some of these veteran guys. He was going to be added anyway. So get him a couple games in now so that he doesn't have to wait until April. He can, you know, shake out any of those emotional cobwebs, so to speak, about playing in a big ballpark and whatnot. And it kind of gives him an opportunity to really catapult forward at the start of next year when, you know, maybe he is, you know, platooning in the outfield and maybe he is getting, you know, slightly more regular starts with the big league team rather than shuffling back and forth from Albuquerque to Colorado. He knows the organization is making this commitment to him and saying, hey, you could possibly beat somebody out for a job next year since you never really know what the offseason holds. And even though the Rockies seem like they might have somewhat of a crowded outfield, again, if the new GM or if the current interim GM sticks around, he could make a couple deals and make a couple trades and say, you know what, we think so-and-so is valued a little bit more by this other organization, and we want to bolster up an area that we feel we have a weakness. And you know what, that's fine because we got Ryan Vallade to do just as nice of a job as, you know, any number of the Rockies' current outfielders. So there's definitely some opportunities there, and I'm looking forward to see what he can do here during the final 2 weeks.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun. The other part of this move is, of course, as managers often remind us in the media, especially when we're calling for somebody, when we're like really pressing. I can remember this during the David Dahl times. You know, when's this guy going to make his debut? When's this guy going to make his debut? And then Bud Black would remind us, you know, and usually once the press conference is over, every time we call somebody up, we got to send somebody out. It's not a great day for everybody necessarily. Now the Rockies had, you know, some wiggle room here and someone on the roster who I don't think was expecting to be a permanent fixture starting right now. But they did have to do some shuffling. Someone's got to go out and they did the pitching rotation now becomes this very interesting question moving forward. Patrick, can you take the people through what we've got on deck? It was confirmed, right? You were in with Buddy today and I was not, that John Gray will pitch tomorrow. And then maybe we'll see some Peter Lambert next week. Take the people through the machinations here.
Might have to be Peter Lambert, who looked good in his previous start. Good enough, I should say. So yeah, John Gray originally scheduled to open the Dodgers series at home. So now he slides up to Sunday. Kyle Freeland will of course start today against Patrick Corbin. Love those lefty on lefty matchups.
Love it.
It'll be Gray against Paolo Espino on Sunday, early one. It's an early one. That's a 11:05.
Yeah.
I like that. I like
love it.
Those morning
games. Love it. Plenty of Strava Craft coffee.
Rockies have an off day on Monday. And then, yeah, from there, we'll see what shuffles around. If Senzatella makes a start on Tuesday, I think Tuesday could be when You know, we see somebody new, fresh off the boat, so to speak, to get that start against the Dodgers. Senzatella, Marquez, just after that. So I think it's still a little bit up in the air because there's been that shuffling going on, and it's there's more opportunities, I think, for the starting pitchers, for them to get a feel of who's going to be around next year. You know, maybe we see Ryan Rolison, as you said, Peter Lambert, he's already on the 40-man roster and just needs to be activated. He's on the 60-day IL, so somebody else would have to come off of the 40-man roster or be moved to the 60-day IL, which isn't a big issue. Connor Joe's not ready. You know, his hamstring issues are still ongoing. I think I was maybe a little more hopeful than I should have been when Bud said, "Hey, you know what? It could be the minimum." And we had Drew Goodman on, and he said, "Well, yeah, that's good and fine, but those hamstring injuries can be a doozy." I said,
"Yeah,
you know, you're right." And so Goody's on the ball for that.
Goody harps on, and we don't bring this stuff up much, Lux. I know some people, you know, when you put that many thoughts out publicly to people, you're going to have critics. When you're every single day for 3 to 4 hours a night just sharing your thoughts, there's going to be some criticisms. And I think that's one of those things that he kind of harps on. People go, why does he keep bringing up back of the leg injuries? He talks and he makes a very specific thing about that, but he's right. He's that's one he totally nails with that. And we all want to be like, well, a little bit of a hammy thing doesn't sound so bad, right? You can get back out there. And Goody's like,
If Chi-Chi's not ready to come off the IL, he's another guy that could go to the 60-man. So for anyone that doesn't know, typical injury list players, they're gone for 10 days. They are still a part of your 40-man roster because it's 10 days. But once a player goes onto the longer-term IL, the 60-day IL, now you essentially have a new spot on the 40-man. So, in fact, if you go to Rockies.com and you look at the 40-man, you're going to count something like 45 names. And that's because there are five, in this example, that would be on the 60-day IL. So that's right. How you work around that. And then come the off season, you now have there is no IL. So even a guy who's, you know, in the middle of Tommy John surgery on the cutting table, he's off the IL.
Right.
And so then at that point, you have to decide what are the 40 guys you want to keep apropos of any injury at all. And so that's where you cut some fat, or that's where you say, well, that's okay because these guys are free agents. So they're coming off the books. So now we still have 40 guys. And if we want to bring this player, CJ Cron, for example, or Trevor Story or John Gray, if we want to bring them back, now we have to make a move on the 40-man. So it's pretty common to have a lot more than 40 guys on the 40-man roster. And so I think we can still play around with that to activate Peter Lambert. And like you said, I definitely think that would be great to have him come back for that final series in Colorado.
Yeah. And it would be on his regular rest and all that. And just one more thing that is in line with this comment here from Steven in our YouTube live, but I'll get to that after I tell you about this. Now I'm still on our Strava Craft coffee drinking hours. Breck Brew hours will come after the Rockies secure this road series win. If they can secure this road series win, that would be their third in a row and four in their last five, when there was a time in the season when we were wondering if they were ever going to get one. So quite the turnaround it's been here. So we'll toast our Breck Brews to them if they get that done. You know, you get a bigger Breck Brew when you come down to the DNVR bar. If you're a member, you should subscribe today at thednvr.com. You get access to all the written content. Like I said, a bigger beer at the bar. You get discounts on hats and shirts and stuff. We send you a free shirt if you get the annual right away. There's so many fantastic things you get from being a member. Access to our Discord channel, just a private chat room. We're hanging out all the time, talking baseball, movies, Star Wars, all the other sports, what's going on in your life, who's cooking something delicious, all kinds of fun stuff in the Discord channel. Come and hang out with us. And don't forget to come out to Trivia Night, by the way, on Tuesdays down at the DNVR bar. It's a whole lot of fun. It's Tuesday. I don't know that I've always said the time. It's Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. I've been getting out there for most of them, so you can come hang out with me most of the time. And once the off season kicks in, I'll be out there all the time. So come hang out, play trivia, have some fun. The food and drink is delicious and extraordinarily reasonably priced. So come hang out with us down at the DNVR bar.
And depending on your knowledge of irrelevant information that that is trivial. It's trivial for a reason.
True.
Your meal can be paid for because first place team I know wins $50 and there's some other prizes for second and third place. Right. So you can quite literally put your money where your mouth is and say, all right, I'm going to order a couple things on the menu, get some appetizers. Well, guess what? All that can be free if you know the last second baseman to back cleanup for the Colorado Rockies 100%. For a week straight.
Love it. It all puts a great big old smile on my face. And my smile is brought to you by our friends over at Green Mountain Dental Group. You know, they're fantastic. They've been a long time. I think one of the very first, like, BSN sponsors from forever ago. They're fantastic. They treat you like family. Just 15 minutes outside of downtown Denver there in Lakewood. They'll hook you up with free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule your cleaning, x-ray, and exam today. So do check them out. And Steven's got a big old smile on his face. Excited to see Valade today. Realized a few days ago at the Rockies, they're only 2 wins away from their 2019 win total of 71. Very encouraging to see as a Rocks fan with this young core we have. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this team outperforming expectations, Steven, but I hadn't put it in that particular framing before. That's really interesting, right? That 2019 team that had all the expectations, and they still had Nolan, and they had Daniel Murphy was you know, hopefully going to do big things for them. And yeah, they'd lost some pieces, but they were coming off to back postseason campaigns. And that's really interesting because they will, just based on recent play, you've got to believe they're going to surpass that.
And don't forget that 2019 team was in spot for one of the wild card positions right. As late as I think mid-June. They were still in there, you know, several games over 500 before that San Diego series kind of derailed some things.
Yeah, and there was talk about them being buyers at the trade deadline. In fact, I think even some potential moves had leaked from that about how they were in on Marcus Stroman, who eventually ended up going to the Mets and stuff like that. So it just goes, you know, that's pretty wild to think about. That they have, you know, that team so underperformed expectations, obviously, the 2019 squad. And then this team has so overperformed them. And there will be an entire offseason long debate about what that truly means. But for now, certainly watching the baseball games and wanting these young players to improve and play, or as we've talked about, more inexperienced players, but players that are part of your future, to improve and show you they can be a part of that future. It's been really nice for that. So, Patrick, that's some wild framing right there, though. Amazing to think that this squad, if you would have looked at their two rosters at the beginning of each season, say, no way this team wins more than that team.
It's quite surprising, to say the least. Yeah, very, very surprising. And, it's funny that that question was asked, thanks, Stephen, today, because – today was the day I had been wanting to ask Buddy this for a few days and wasn't quite brave enough because I thought, this is a stupid question.
Oh, no.
But it's one I want to know. And I got the answer, and it wasn't exactly what I was hoping, so to speak. But it was, you guys are 8.5 games out of the wild card, the final wild card spot, and got a 4-game win streak here on the road, won 7 of your last 8 on the road and just playing really well. And it's not crazy to think that, gee, I don't know, if you go on a run here in the final month, it's crazy. I don't know that that's ever happened before.
Is anything like that in Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, exactly. So it just kind of piqued my interest. Like, you know, are you guys talking about that at all in the clubhouse? Are you really trying to be those snakes in the grass and those underdogs trying to take down those overcats, which they've been doing on the road and at home to right. very much the same degree. And, you know, I think he appreciated the question, but I wasn't convinced that they really are. Like, I thought there's this chance that they're, you know, they're whispering it. And maybe they are, and maybe he didn't want to kind of talk about it too much because they almost have to win out. They almost literally have to win out, and they're not eliminated yet, but I don't even know what their magic numbers. They don't list the magic number for wild card. They do for the division, which right. they're eliminated. Padres are also eliminated from clinching the division too, right. Which is interesting, but they have a chance. And if they continue to play this well and beat the teams that are ahead of them in the standings, and now granted, they're not going to play any of those teams after this, like Philly and Atlanta were the last two. So they really helped themselves, you know, move up. Every win was a loss for those two clubs. And so it was kind of worth that much more. And I don't think they're going to, I don't even think they're going to get ahead of the Mets, but if they're looking at the standings, they might see it completely differently. Like, man, we are really grooving right now. We're just playing great, and we're playing so much better. We're a lot more confident. These young guys that we're bringing in are helping and contributing. We're all getting a lot better. And you know, is this something that's going on? I don't think it is, but I thought, you know what, there could be a chance. There could be a chance.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because Katie, my fiance, for those of you who don't know, was asking that question. Was kind of doing the math, right? And I did not expect to be having this conversation at this point in the season, but you know, and basically explained that, if you're three games ahead of me and I win, you also win. Well, you're still three games ahead of me. And so that's the problem, right? Is it's not even just that the Rockies have to win out. It's that all the other teams have to lose. But our friends over at Purple Row did get me thinking about a few extra potential, and you said another one there, sort of goals for the season that I really like, because Rockies aren't going to get the top pick in the draft. They're going to be anywhere from 7th to 13th or whatever, and that's where they're going to be, it looks like. And okay, so in terms of just for the season, you just mentioned catching the Mets. I like that. The guys at Purple Row and Gals, actually run by our great friend Sam Bradfield, I don't know who sent this particular tweet, said, catch Padres. That's actually doable. And that actually could have some interesting implications, not necessarily for the Rockies. Again, we'll have plenty of time to debate the end of the season and the offseason if it was a good thing or a bad thing that the Rockies have finished the season well here. But if you knock the Padres down to third place in the division, or something, like if you can catch these guys, do you force them to start doing even wilder things, and you start messing with their mojo, and now they're no longer? I really think you can already start to have the conversation about, were they this juggernaut to be afraid of? But you mess with their mojo a little bit, make them start panic doing things, firing people because they finished behind the Rockies after everything they did. Or even if none of that happens, just for the karma of it, to finish ahead of the Padres, I think is a pretty fun goal, and one that's certainly more achievable, though you're right, not mathematically impossible for the Rockies to make the postseason.
I think there's definitely going to be some changes in San Diego, but
yeah,
a lot of the issues that they're having, I think, is more injury based. Granted,
doesn't stop people from doing dumb stuff.
That's right. Yeah. And granted, AJ Preller just didn't, he didn't have the right package. He didn't have the package he needed, Drew. And this isn't the start of a
reason. Which reminds me rather of our friends at Manscaped. No.
but the Nationals preferred the Dodgers group of prospects in Josiah Gray and Keibert Ruiz. And it was going to be almost a similar package of guys from the Padres. And so he didn't get that job done, and I think that would have certainly gone a long way. All these starts that you see by Max Fisher, sure, would be racked up for the Padres. But sure, even outside of that, they've just, Jake Arrieta is still going out there making starts. They got him off the scrap heap. Vince Velasquez just recently got called up, and so it's just the injuries to everybody, from Paddock and Snell's now on the IL, Adrian Morejon. They've got a whole bullpen full of guys that would be good enough to be on any postseason roster. And most of those guys have needed Tommy John surgery. Dan Altavilla, Michelle Baez, Jose Castilla, Keone Kella. So there's a lot of guys. And so you still got to work around those things, but I still think they're gonna have to do some things and maybe in-house at least some. And for anyone else, while we're in the middle of explaining how things work, for anyone who doesn't know, because you started off by talking about, hey, my team wins, but your team, who's better in the standing, also wins. So we didn't get anywhere. That's right. What an elimination number is. It's not how many games behind you are. It's you get eliminated by, or you you subtract an elimination day from your loss if you are lower in the standings, or if the team is higher and they get a win, that also subtracts. So it's like a combination, right? If your elimination number is 10, that could be 5 wins for the first place team and 5 losses for the second place team. However, those 10 games come about, that's what an elimination number represents. So even if you win out, even if the Rockies win out, there, you know, I don't know what their elimination number is for the wild card, but if it's 4, that just means that, you know, the Reds, I think might be in the postseason spot now, or maybe it's the Phillies, but that just means all they have to do is win 4 games. And even if the Rockies win out, doesn't matter. One of those red colored baseball clubs are going to the postseason, not the Rockies.
Right. Well, you brushed up against it there for just a second. So speaking of AJ Preller's package, I do need to tell you all about our friends at Manscaped. Fellas, you got to get Manscaped. It is time. It's 2021. You want to feel better. You want to smell better, be cleaner. It's better all around for everyone involved with your downstairs situation. Whether you're getting the full package performance 4.0, which comes with a whole bunch of stuff. Did I say that backwards? Package performance? Hey, you know what? Package performance is also proper, but
it's a byproduct of Manscaped.
That's right. But it is, of course, the performance package 4.0. You get the lawnmower. You get some spritzer. You get the really comfortable pair of boxers. They've got all kinds of fantastic stuff to keep you comfortable. Use promo code DNVR at manscaped.com. You'll get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Again, that's promo code DNVR for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Fantastic price. They really do make some good stuff. So the Colorado Rockies won a baseball game last night, as we mentioned earlier, believe it or not, and it was a wild one, Patrick, with a 9-8 final score. Colorado Rockies falling behind on multiple occasions, including at 1.6-2, thanks to kind of another iffy, rough collapse from Armand Marquez, who just wasn't able to finish some key innings there. But big, huge homers from Brendan Rodgers and, of course, Sam Hilliard, who just lost his father to ALS. And, of course, most people here have been following that story very closely. We have for a long time. Obviously, very, very sad. And you can't help when those kinds of things happen in sports but be moved and inspired when someone comes up right after something like that. And they're clearly emotional. And you have to be. You're just too close to it at that point, but man, that sure was something else.
He battled through that quite impressively, just like the team did. You know, I'm sure his teammates, and they talked about it a little bit in the post game, like Brendan Rodgers, who's a roommate of Sam Hilliard's in the minor leagues, how, you know, difficult that experience was for Hilliard, and how they were, you know, almost inspired to get that win out there for him and for his father, Jim Hilliard. And it led to the comeback, which was just so impressive. You know, in our Discord, we were talking about the game, and when they were down 6-2, I took far too long to go to DraftKings Sportsbook to see what the odds were for the Rockies to win. Then Rodgers hit the 2-run home run and it was 6-4. And at that point I checked, and it was plus 375 for the Rockies to win that game. So I can't imagine what it was before that, after the fourth inning, when it was 6-2.
Nice money.
Very nice. It was just one of those games where if you watch the team long enough, you just get a sense that, no, it's not over yet. Sure, it's disappointing. Your ace is on the hill, you know, and craps the bed here in this way in D.C., but – no, I didn't get the sense that Josiah Gray was going to shut it down. So it was great to see Rodgers homer, Hilliard homer right after. And despite even, you know, the 2 runs given up in the eighth to flip the lead to 8-7, Rockies still had enough to come back and win that game on the road for their fourth straight. And this has been really interesting road trip, because they continue to improve all year long, and it's going to take all offseason to figure out what the heck's going on and what does it mean too, because I don't know that we can settle on a result as to what it exactly means. It might mean a bunch of things. I don't know, but right now it's been really fun watching this team play, and it's been really nice that Sam got to, as soon as he comes back after his father's passing, he's able to put on that performance. And man, it was gut-wrenching seeing him out there, and I can't even say he was holding back the tears, because he wasn't. He couldn't. It was too much. But at the same time, that was the perfect place for him to be. He was out there on the field doing that thing that he first fell in love with because of his father, because of his family, and to have those moments and to be present with his father, to speak with him. You know, I imagine he was doing a lot of that, and he'll forever do that. But also, you know, still be locked in on the game in some weird capacity, as human beings are able to do in times of crisis and in times like this, where you just turn it on and you find another gear. He was in that gear. He kind of ascended in that capacity. So it was definitely a game and a moment that I'm not going to forget anytime soon.
Yeah, it's amazing what these, you know, what sports can give you, and you know, baseball, you know, we talk about it a lot, that 162 games a season, you never know what you're going to see any given day at the ballpark. But, you know, if you totally check out on your ball club in May, because it looks like they're probably not going to go to the postseason, regardless of the decent play as of late and all the other things, these are the kinds of moments you miss. It's why no matter how bad the ball club's been throughout my life, I always watch these August, September games. You never know when you're going to get, you know, moments, like you said, that you'll never forget. This is one we'll always remember, even though to the grand scheme of competitiveness, it didn't really mean much. It meant a great deal on the night of. And like you said, there was that extra magic to it, that they even lost the lead again. And in such an unlikely fashion too, because Chacín has been so good this year. And he threw a pitch that was like a foot and a half off the plate that ended up going for a single into right field for an RBI that put Washington back on top. And then Elias Diaz goes out and hits another clutch home run, continuing his inspiring story of a big turnaround. And then it's, again, Brendan Rodgers, who has the three RBI night. And we talk about how great he's been on the road and everything Brendan Rodgers has been doing, but drives in for what would turn out to be the game-winning run, Sam Hilliard. And you cannot write that shit. They would throw you out of the room in the Hollywood meeting. No. It's too unlikely. There's nine guys in the batting order. It's not going to be him for every big moment.